But in the beginning, God himself created the heavens and the earth. If you continue on down through that chapter, you'll continue to read the word God over and over again. And in Genesis chapter 1, it's always the same word, Elohim. It's his office. It's what he does. It's he creates. He has all authority and all power over everything. And what he does here in chapter 1 is he creates the world. He begins by having authority over the world. He sets it in order. He creates it, he sets it, and he spins it, we might say, as well. He put it into motion. And we even see down to the end that God creates man. And he's still in this sense of Elohim. He's still in the sense of being in all authority. We have another interesting name. It's the word El. Now, you just heard El and Elohim. That's the whole word. But oftentimes it's shortened to El. And if you flip over to Genesis chapter 49... Genesis chapter 49, we find this once again just used as the word God in our English, which takes away from it, I think, in our minds. But in Genesis chapter 49, verse 25, it says, "By the God of your father who will help you." That word God is the word El. And that word El gives the identity of strength, of power, of one having strength, of one having power. So you might read, "By the authority of God." By the strength of God of your Father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. So this short word El, as it's pronounced E-L-L, is the idea of having strength. Now as what's interesting, as we go through this study this evening, we're going to see names of God that describe his character, that describe who he is. Do you remember last Sunday morning, we talked about now what? And we talked about what Christ is doing now, how he's wearing, we said, these different hats, metaphorically, symbolically, these different responsibilities that he's carrying on now as we wait for the rapture. Well, these names, we might say, are different nicknames that Christ, or that God had in the Old Testament, that help describe to us who he was and who he is. So we understand that he is full of strength. We understand that he's not just some, I've said this a million times, some being out in outer space waiting to strike us when we mess up, but he's there watching over us, and we'll see here in a few moments by the use of some of his names that he is compassionate, that he is kind, that he is caring, that he is sufficient, and so forth. And I have a whole sheet here. I'm not going to go through all of them with you this morning or this evening, but I've highlighted certain ones I'd like to hit with you. And if you're interested about the other ones that we're not necessarily going to talk about, I'd be more than willing to share those with you. But I'll read them off as we go down the list. But we understand that with these different names that we missed out on in the English because we don't have the actual name that was given to God, we just have the word God there, that we kind of miss out a little bit. We don't get to see all the aspects of who God really is in our English language. For example, in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, I won't have you turn there, but it talks to us about Elohei Mishpat. Elohei Mishpat, which means that he is the God of justice. He is a just God. And they have ascribed to him that name, Elohei Mishpat. There's another one in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. He is the God of the beginning. We understand that in Revelation it talks about how God is the God of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And here in Deuteronomy, they gave him just the name of the God of the beginning, Elohei Kedem. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, he is the God of forgiveness. I'm thankful for that one. The God of forgiveness, Elohei Tzilikot. Don't ask me if I'm pronouncing that right. I was talking with David earlier. These are Hebrew words. And usually, the way if you heard someone speaking Hebrew, it just sounds like someone's hacking up a hairball. They're sneezing and coughing and at the same time. And so I may not be exactly pronouncing this correctly, but I think I'm pretty close. Take your Bibles and join me in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Some of these, as we read the passage, we will see how this name of God is actually given. For example, here in a few moments, we're going to go talk about Abraham and Isaac. And we will see Jehovah Jireh. You know the story, how God has provided. And we'll get there in a moment. But as we read some of these passages, sometimes you'll see how the name plays out, and sometimes we won't. So just in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. I'm not sure if that's exactly what the King James says, but what's interesting for us here in this passage is that sometimes it's given and sometimes it's not. And here in this passage, we have this little saying that God is the God of gods. And that's what this name actually means, is he's the God of gods. Elohe Elohim. Elohim was the name God and his authority. Elohe means God of gods. Elohim, Elohe Elohim. He's the God of gods. Sounds kind of familiar back in Exodus chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments. Remember, God says, I am your God, and thou shalt have no other gods besides me. He is the God of gods. Now understand with me this morning, there are no other gods besides the one true God. There are idols that don't talk, there are idols that don't see, there are idols that don't hear. We have money and things that we worship today, but out of all those things, God, Elohim, is the God of gods. Another interesting one is over in Psalm chapter 43, verse 2. This might be one that you would like to write down and remember in your own daily life, in your own study of God's Word. Psalm chapter 43, verse 2. And in Psalm chapter 43, verse 2, we once again have the actual nickname given to us in English, not the Hebrew word, obviously, but we have the meaning of the Hebrew word. And in Psalm chapter 43, verse 2, it says, "For you are the God of my strength." You are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. That word, that the name God of my strength is Elohe Mazi. M-A-U-Z-I. Elohe Mazi. He's the God of our strength. When you are weak, you can be strong because of God's power. He is on your side. He is there for you. Elohe Tahziah. Elohe Tehelati, Psalm chapter 109, verse 1, is God of my praise. To whom do you ascribe praise this evening? I hope it's to God. Elohe Mikarav is the God who is near, Jeremiah 23:23. Elohe Maran is the God of heights, in Micah chapter 6, verse 6. Elohe Yishi is found in Psalm 18:47 and Psalm 25:5. He is the God of my salvation. Interesting names that we have here for us in the Hebrew. And if we were Jewish and speaking back in the Old Testament times, we would have been saying his names, not just saying God of my strength or God of forgiveness, but we'd actually be saying his Hebrew name, each one characterizing who he really was and really is. If you go to the doctor's office, you will probably walk in and say, "Well, doctor, what do you think?" You go to his house later in the day and you say, "Well, George, how about a drink, you know, or how about you come over to my house or something?" You know, they go by different names, and that's exactly what we have here. In the different characteristics, the different situations, God is known as different names. Go back with me to the book of Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2 says, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." It's telling us that God is holy. This name here is Elohim Kedoshim, meaning holy God. He is the perfect God. He is the God without sin. He's the holy God, Elohim Kedoshim. Over in Jeremiah 10:10, we understand that I better keep going here. I'm going to get lost. Elohim Kodashim. In Jeremiah 10:10, we find that he is Elohim Chasadim. Chasadim, meaning that he is the living God. He's not, like I said, some out in God out there, being out in outer space. He is the living God. He is there watching over us. Let's see if I can do this one. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, meaning the faithful God, he is El Hayniyamin. Hayniyamin. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, we were actually there just a few moments ago as we read about the God of gods. We find out also that he is El Hagadol, the great God. The great God. One of the verses that I'm really excited about and one of the names that I really appreciate about God is found in Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31. You won't want to miss this one. I bet you probably have already heard this one before. At least I sure hope you have. But in Genesis chapter 31, verse 29, we have a name given to God, ascribed to God, to describe his character. And in this one, it means that God is all-sufficient. God is all-sufficient. Genesis chapter 31, verse 29 says, "It is in my power to do you harm, but the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad.'" Once again, we have just that word God. And that's plastered there for us in the English. But if we went back in the Hebrew and found his name, the meaning that God is all-sufficient, he is... Oh boy, didn't I not put it up there? Nope, I didn't. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. God is sufficient. He is everything that we need and so much more. It's interesting as we read through Psalm chapter 23, probably one of the most famous passages in God's Word, we read that God, as he fills our cup, doesn't just fill it to the brim, but he fills it till it's flowing over. He is sufficient, and he then is so much more. We also see that in Psalm chapter 68, verse 35, that he is the God of Israel, El Yisrael. We see in Isaiah 5:16 that he is the holy God, El Hakadosh. Psalm 136, verse 26, the God of the heavens, he's El Shamayim. Interesting. This one I don't have on the screen, but we're going to do it anyways. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This one I know you know. And we're going to find it in Isaiah chapter 7. Now remember, I gave you that first word, Elohim, and then the second word, El, meaning to have strength, to have authority, to be God. We find in Isaiah chapter 7, if I can turn there, another name that is ascribed to God, and this is actually to a portion of the Godhead, the part of the Trinity, and we find in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." El. The end of his name, Emmanuel. And what does the name Emmanuel mean? God with us. There's that El at the end of Emmanuel. That El is that word God. God with us. Not just part of the time, not just some of the time, but all the time. Emmanuel. God with us. Kind of fun to see that as we go through. We also have God of heaven and earth in Ezra chapter 5, verse 11. Let's see if we can get this one. Elah Shemaya Vra. Ask for pronunciation and spelling later. But Elah Shemaya Vra. We have another one that's interesting. Yahweh, or Jehovah. We find that in Exodus chapter 20. Would you join me there? Exodus chapter 20. What popular portion of Scripture do we find in Exodus chapter 20? Ten Commandments. And we just actually talked about this just briefly a moment ago. We find in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." We have the word God listed there, Elohim. But we also have another word listed there, which is the word Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In the Old Testament, whenever you find the word Lord in all capitals, that's another word. We'll get to that. That's another name. We'll get to that in a moment. But it's describing the emotions of God, his care for us, his compassion for us. And we have here this word Jehovah or Yahweh. In the Hebrew, it's already written up there on the screen for us, it's YHWH. How do you pronounce that? Good luck, you don't know. The Jewish individual will not even begin to try and pronounce it because they consider the name to be so holy that they will not try to pronounce it. In fact, you will not find a Jewish individual who write the name God. They'll write G/D to get around it. But the word Yahweh, H-Y-W-H, has no vowels in it, so it's hard to you can't pronounce it. So in our English translations, we've ascribed to it the name Jehovah. The reason we have done that is because of the way that the Y and the W sound in the Hebrew. A Y sounds like a J, and the W sounds more like a V. So it's Jehovah, as we get into our harsh English language. But the way that they do that, though, is they take the Y and the H and the W and the Y, and they put in vowels into it. And they add an A, and they add an E. And we'll talk about that more in a moment as we get to the word Lord. Oh, I might as well break the silence now. The word Lord here in... It doesn't mean no good to try and go forward without explaining it. The word Lord in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word Adonai. Adonai. And we'll put it up on the screen here in a few more minutes. But it's Adonai. And it's A-D-O-N-A-I. So they take the A from Adonai, and they take the E from Elohim, and they insert it in between the Y and the H and the W and the Y, and it comes up with Jehovah. So that's just the way they've done it. It's kind of crass. It's kind of not the best way to do it, but they wanted to somehow be able to allow us to pronounce it. So that's what they have done. So we have the word Jehovah, Jehovah God. Jehovah means the great I am. The great I am. Remember when Moses was on the mountain and he saw the burning bush and he walked over and he's talking to the burning bush and God tells him, you're standing on holy ground, take off your shoes. And then they have this conversation and Moses is told that God wants him to go back to Egypt and to get Pharaoh to release the people. And Moses says, well, who shall I tell them sent me? He says, tell them I am sent you. And what he's saying there is tell them Jehovah, Yahweh, sent you. The God of gods, the God of strength, the God who is near and so forth. Tell them, I am the one that sent you. We have in Judges chapter 6, verse 24, a wonderful verse that I would encourage you to write down to remember this passage for. In Judges chapter 6, verse 24, we have this written for us. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, he calls this altar, the Lord is peace. To this day, and it's still an Ophrah of the Abizarites. That, maybe some of you already know this one. Let's do a quick Bible challenge for you. What would be the Hebrew word for the Lord is peace? Do you know what the Hebrew word is for peace? Shalom. So we take our first word that we just learned about, the word Lord, Jehovah, and we add Shalom. It's Jehovah Shalom. God is our peace. If you were to go to Israel right now and you're to meet Jewish individuals, you wouldn't walk up to them and say hi and shake their hand. You would say Shalom, peace be to you. And that's the way they greet one another. So we understand that God is the Lord is our peace. He's the one watching over us. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 28, we have the Lord who makes holy, Jehovah Mikdash. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, we were just briefly there in that area a moment ago. I won't force you to turn it because you probably already got blisters on your fingers from turning. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, it says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. There's that word Lord, all capitalized again. And we actually have once again for us the nickname of God, the meaning of God, Lord God, listed for us there. And that word there, is what did we say was the name for Lord? It's Jehovah. And what was God? Elohim. Jehovah Elohim, Lord God. It's interesting how these begin to put together real quick as you start to learn them. But he is the Lord God. He's Jehovah Elohim. We understand in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, I don't need to probably reiterate the whole story for you, but you remember how God told Abraham to take his son, his only son, and to go up on top of the mountain to sacrifice his son as a sacrifice upon the altar. And out of obedience, remember, Abraham takes his son up there, they get up there, and he's just about ready to plunge the knife into his son's heart, and all of a sudden this angel speaks to him and says, Abraham, stop! And it goes on to explain, I know you have proven yourself to be faithful. You have proven yourself to love me and to obey me and want to serve me. and because of that now, I'm going to spare your son. And remember, they look over into the brush nearby, and they're caught by the horns as a ram. So now God has given a special gift, so Abraham does not have to sacrifice his son, but he is now able to sacrifice this ram instead. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, it says, "And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'And the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided.'" Do you remember the Hebrew name for "the Lord shall provide"? You've heard it before, I can guarantee you. I've said it myself. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Whatever your need may be, God will provide it. God can provide for it. Another neat one, we won't go, and I have it up here on the screen behind me, Jehovah Nisi. It's found in Exodus chapter 12, verse 15. But the Lord is my banner. In military times, not so much today, but maybe even back during the Confederate War and the Civil War between the Union and the Confederacy, oftentimes if they would go to war, out in front of the troops marching forward would be this individual carrying a flag. That was their banner under which they fought. You look throughout wars and throughout history and throughout time, you will see different armies had banners that they fought under. Different flags they fall under. The fight that we fight is under the banner of our Lord. The Lord is our banner. He's the one watching over us. Jeremiah 33, verse 16, "Is the Lord our righteousness? Jehovah, T-Z-I-D-K-A-Y-N-U. Bless you. Tzidkenu, and I have no idea if I'm pronouncing these right anyways, but that's what it looks like. In Psalm chapter 95, verse 5, we understand that the Lord is our maker, Jehovah Aseinu. Bob Martin brought this one to my mind a few years ago and shared with me that this is one of his favorites. It may still be, it may not be. But turn in your Bibles this evening to Exodus chapter 15. He shared this one with me, and I had to go study it to learn what it meant. But Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 26. "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, and said, If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.'" The word there is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. I skipped another one. Jehovah Rapha is the God, the Lord that heals. Don't be looking, you're cheating. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. And I know a few years ago Bob was telling me that's a big encouragement to him. And back when he was having his hip problems and all that sort of interesting things going on. But Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Psalm chapter 23, I don't need to take you there, but it talks about the Lord our shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. In Exodus chapter 48, verse 35, we learn about the Lord that is there, Jehovah Shema. Psalm chapter 46, verse 7 and verse 11, we understand that the Lord is the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. What's Sabaoth? Sabbath. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. He is El Roi, R-O-I, the God of seeing. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, he is Shaphat. He is the judge. In Psalm 18, verse 2, he is Paleh. He's the deliverer. I like that one, deliverer. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 3, we understand that he is Yeshua, the Savior, the one who has the ability to save. in Job chapter 19, verse 25, we find this unique name, Gaol. Gaol. I'm not sure it's anywhere else in God's Word except for in this one passage, but it means that He is the Redeemer. Gaol, the Redeemer. We already saw earlier that He is Adonai, Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. We see that in a whole variety of verses, such as in Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. But one of my very favorites, and I've saved it for last, is this word, is this name, El Olam. Almost kind of sounds Arabic, almost a little bit Islamic, but it's not. It's Hebrew, El Olam. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 21, verse 33. Genesis chapter 21, verse 33. I shouldn't say that I saved the best for last, because they're all really good. This is one of my favorites. Genesis chapter 21, verse 33. As a symbol of what God has been doing with Abraham, Abraham in verse 23 of Genesis chapter 1 plants a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and they're called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. El Olam, the everlasting God, the God of everlasting time. He has no beginning, He has no end. And although our lives have a beginning, as we place our faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we have no end. He is El Olam, the God of everlasting. Let's pray. Father, we have just taken this evening a sampling of the names that were ascribed to You in the Hebrew language in the Old Testament. Father, these names are so vibrant with color. As we think about who You are and as far as the characteristics of who You are, You truly are our healer and our provider. You truly are the God of gods and the God of hosts. Father, You truly do allow peace to come into our lives because You are the Lord of peace. You heal us because You are the God, You are the Lord of healing, Father. Lord, You are so much more than just God. But You are so much more in all these different names that we can ascribe to You. Father, I would ask that You'd help us that even during our prayer time, You might allow us to be even more specific in our prayer time, that we would call You by Your names that You have been ascribed, that You have been given in accordance to our specific needs. Father, may we truly understand that You are a God of compassion and of love, and yet You are still complete, full of justice, and You are the judge. You have the ability to raise up and to tear down. And yet at the same time, You have the ability to make peace and to bring rejoicing. Father, thank You for our study this evening we've had. May it not just been a time where we've heard Pastor talking, but may it be a time that we have been encouraged to see that You are more than just God. You are all these characteristics. In Jesus' name, amen.